And hello.
Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Hello. You'll have to pardon us. We had some technical difficulties, but we are back and we are on the air right now. I'm Kay Thompson, and this is the Kay and Gus Show. Then we're going to be talking about news, information, and education, and global communication issues, and different things going on in the world today. We're going to be talking to, a little later on when we get her on the air, that's going to be Mooneen Jackson Amos. And she is an attorney, and she is a formal trial lawyer, and she is from New Jersey. We're going to be talking here to her about women's issues, and some of the things we are going to be talking about is, what's happening. I know this is not a woman's issue. This is a complete everybody else's issue. Eric Holder, the Attorney General, is being held in contempt by Congress, and isn't it strange that the congressional folks who are in charge in Congress, who are in the majority in Congress, are trying absolutely everything they could possibly do to destroy the Obama administration. This is quite obvious, and we have been following, exactly what's going on, and we're going to be talking about a lot of those issues. By the way, I know that you have been waiting to hear how Gus is. Gus is coming along, but I want to tell you this. The African-American Chamber of Commerce is having a tribute for Gus Henningberg, and we're going to be bringing you information and up-to-date information as soon as we get it in, as soon as we get a date on that. We had a meeting yesterday, and everything is moving on as it should be, and so I'd like to congratulate the African-American Chamber of Commerce for starting this process, because there's an awful lot to be said about what Gus has done over the years. As a matter of fact, before we even get into talking to Brianna Scott, as a matter of fact, we're waiting for her to call in, but I think that she's being a little late in. Not that she's late, but we had some technical difficulties. As does happen from time to time. So thanks to Ayana for working so hard there, in the control room. And thanks for, hanging in there with us. And let me see. I'm going to give you some information about Gus before I go on about Mooneen Jackson, who's going to be coming on during the second part of the show. And we're going to be talking to her about women's issues, as I was saying, as relates to, the Obama administration. So just to give you another number of the things about Gus and the reason why he's going to be held in esteem, why there is going to be this tribute to him. And this was just decided on yesterday, so I thought I'd put that out on the air right away. He was born in Alabama and graduated from Hampton Institute and served in the Army Intelligence Corps. He moved to Newark as Director of Alumni Affairs for the United Negro College Fund and as assistant to the president of the NAACP Legal and Defense Educational Fund. He became a recognized leader in business world, in the civic community, and in the field of education. He created the Love Festival, the first major public event to heal the wounds of the community following the Newark riots. And that was, I forget the year, but over 63,000 people attended. And I have to say this, too, because a lot of people may have forgotten or they don't remember that not one incident out of the way was happening during that particular Love Festival. And that was at Wickwake Park in Newark. A lot of people will remember that. He was also called by Governor Cahill to mediate the prison riots in Rahway, New Jersey. He mediated the settlement of the nation's longest public housing rent strike at Newark Stella Wright Homes and returned the management of these homes to the tenants. That was a big thing in Newark. Gus also chaired the Council of Airport Opportunity, resulting in more minority business people at Newark Airport than any other in the entire country. And I'm a little bit amused whenever I read anything about the airport, because we go back to when Gus had went out on the tarmac on Newark Airport, and really the plane stopped flying for a short period of time, because he actually closed down the airport for a while because he was angry that he couldn't get the attention that he needed from the people who were in charge over at the New York, New Jersey Port Authority. And they have to do with all the transportation, in the state. And I think he was being ignored, and you don't ignore him. So therefore, he did this movement and was on the spur of the moment. And lo and behold, they got a lot of, he was able to go to Washington and meet with the officials there. And what happened was that he did this because of the fact that there was so much construction going on. But African Americans and Asians and women and Latinos were not in that construction force. And as you know, when you're building and you're involved with the infrastructure, that means construction of highways, of bridges, of everything, tunnels, et cetera, et cetera. I care for the waterways. And when you're ignored like that, it takes a real event in order to make sure that people know that you're serious and these jobs should be available, construction jobs available to everyone who's able to, you know, work in construction. Anyway, that was the biggie for Gus Henninger. He also forced work stoppages of construction projects at the University of Medicine and Dentistry in New Jersey, and we were just talking about Newark Airport Terminal. And we were in this meeting that we were having yesterday about the tribute for Gus. We talked about the fact that because of what he did at Newark Airport, there are now over 700 different duty-free stores, duty-free stores that are in the airports around the country due to what had happened in Newark under Gus Henninger. He used the Newark plan to negotiate integrated forces at Essex County College in Passaic Valley, Sewage Commission, and Giant Stadium. And he created the Newark Construction Trades and Training. Now, you all probably remember Positively Black. He served as the host of WNBC-TV's award-winning and longest-running public affairs program on NBC Positively Black. And he was senior correspondent for the New Jersey Nightly News, and he also created and organized the first national effort for Black sports celebrities to support civil rights. They were the co-chairs were Bill Russell, Gail Sayers, and Bill White. There's so many other things that I could read about and give you information about, but we're going to be saving that, and we're going to be, as we go along and finding out more about the tribute coming up. By the way, the tribute is going to be at the New Jersey Performing Arts Center. Now, that's important because Gus, they have a plaque down there for Gus, and he was involved with, of course, integrating the construction forces. In other words, did he have white workers on the construction force building the New Jersey Performing Arts Center, but they also had women, Asians, Latinos, everybody. Okay, because as you know, at one time, you know, you couldn't get a job, you know, doing construction. So Gus was very instrumental in making that possible for job opportunities for a number of people. So there we have a lot of the things that Gus has done. And we're all very excited about this new tribute. The last tribute for Gus Henninger was in 2002. And this was something that was, coordinated. And the idea thought up by Ed Holder, who is the owner of EJE, duty-free store at Newark Airport. It is now being operated and managed by his nephew, Janice Holder. So if you're ever in Newark Airport and you're in Terminal 3, I think it is, and there's another one, I don't know if it's in Terminal 1, but if you check the information sheets down at the airport, you can certainly find that duty-free store there. It's called EJE. So you want to go into there as you're flying out. So anyway, also getting back to where we're going with, and we're going to be trying to get Brianna Scott, our correspondent in Bermuda. And what she is going to be doing is, this is her first report, and she was to call in, and I know she probably tried her best to call in, but that was during the time that we had these technical difficulties. So hopefully that she will call back. This is, I am Kay Thompson. I am one half of the Kay and Gus Show. And we have been doing the show, I guess, now for maybe about a little more than a year. And we have over 50 shows under our belts, and a lot of them you will want to hear because they are exciting. The very first show we featured in our self-publishing sector, we featured a book by Milagros Harris. The name of that was Secrets of the Underground Diva Lounge. And this was one of the funniest books I think I've ever read in my life. Milagros Harris, known as Millie Harris, is a extraordinary teacher in the Newark Public School System, and she is also a writer and an author. She has also created a program that deals with working with young students, whose parents are incarcerated, and they have their own set of problems dealing with whenever they have to go into a jail to see their parents, whether it's the mother or the father, incarcerated, and they have to go through a whole lot of, you know, negative changes, being searched and all that sort of thing that they have to go and be, in order to see their parents. So she has created this program, and we're going to be having her on again. But she was the first guest on our show. And then we also have, we're talking to Sahima, the story of Sahima. I don't know if any of you remember that story, but it's about Sahima, who was a who is an African-American female, and she was incarcerated in the Philippines, and she was there for 8 years, eight long years. When she was finally through the work of a number of people, through the work of Amnesty International, of Congressman Donald Payne, and that story is absolutely fascinating. And we have a caller right now. Hopefully, that's going to be Brianna. Let's see now. Hello, you're on the air. Hello, you're on the air. Hello, is this Brianna? Hello? Hello? We're going to try to get that caller back. Remember, this is a call being sent from Bermuda. And what Brianna is going to be talking about, I hope, is... Hello, are you there? We have a caller, and we're trying to get she hung up. Hopefully, she will call back. Brianna Scott, please call back. And we had difficulty, but I think that's all straightened out now. And as soon as she calls back, we will have her on the air because we're going to be finding out what's this is a new segment. Oh, God, I hate to do this to her because it's brand new. And she is a new correspondent. And she's going to be telling us what's going on in the Caribbean. We want to find out about the carnivals. We want to talk about Jamaica. We want to talk about Puerto Rico. We want to talk about Saint Kitts. We want to talk about Barbados, Barbuda. Oh, goodness, every place in the Caribbean that has carnival, and even those that don't, because there's so many exciting things going on. We want to talk about the steel band, and we want to talk about carnival in Brooklyn. We want to talk about carnival in New Jersey. We just want to know about it all. We want the music, and we want to be involved. We want to find out how we can be involved with things. So while we're waiting for this call from Brianna, we're still going to tell you that other thing. By the way, I was telling you about Monique Jackson Amis. Imus Amis, A-M-I-S. Now, you know, we're going to be talking about anti-women issues. And this is something that some of the Republicans, a lot of the Republicans have. You know, there's over 600 pieces of legislation that are really good. I think they're sort of as anti-women's issues, and they all make the congressional panel. Let me see. We have to, you know, as a matter of fact, I know there were several women who wanted to address the Congress, and they couldn't because the men in the legislature would not allow the woman who was on there to talk. Now, I don't know who that was, but I think it was one of the congresswomen from New York. I'm not sure, but we'll find out as we go along. So we're telling people also to be very involved, especially the women. It's time for us to, you know, for our voices to be heard also, and heard a little more loudly and a little more clearly and a little more vociferously. You know, we cannot let this administration, meaning the Obama administration, not have a second term, not go into another 4 years. We need this. We need the employment issue. We need women's issues dealing with. We need citizenship issues. You do know that President Obama did take a stand on, you know, the issue of the deportation. Immigration issues. I'm looking at my information right now, and I'm going to be putting in my glasses on so I can see. And yes, I'm going to be speaking right directly into the mic. I sound low. Do I sound louder right now? Okay, thank you. Better. Okay, that feels better. Anyway, the Obama administration's decision to allow as many as 800,000 young immigrants avoid deportation, and it allows for them to have work permits, makes really perfect sense to everyone. I don't know why this has taken so long. It's because the Republicans are against this. It wisely rescues the blameless young people from a legal mess, a legal limbo. And you know, in an immigration system marked by dysfunction and toxic politics. And that's exactly what's happening, you know, with these young people who are in the country and really want to stay in the country, go to school, graduate from college. It is a decision by the Department of Homeland Security, and this is according to the New York Times, by the way. It is a decision by the Department of Homeland Security to provide limited and temporary relief to people who should not be deported anyway and to allow them to work legally. Now, to qualify for a two-year deferral of deportation, which could be renewed, by the way, applicants would have to be under 31. They would have been brought to the United States before age 16 and have been in the country for at least 5 years. They cannot have serious criminal convictions and would have to be in high school or have a diploma or its equivalent and or be honorably discharged military ferryman. So for the young people who would qualify, the decision opens pathways to them having higher education. And our caller is back, and we're going to get them on the phone right now. Hello, you are on the air. Hello.
Am I too early? This is Monique.
Yes, you are too early, but let's see if we can talk right now, Monique. We scheduled for 8:20, but this is fine.
Oh, okay. Did you say 8:20? Oh, it's not 8:20? I thought it was. Okay, that's fine. Do you want me to call it again? Can't tell time, my dear.
It's 8:26, as a matter of fact. Okay. So we had another helpful call prior to this, but I was telling people that we had some difficulty. So I was stumbling over my words because, you know, I knew that you were going to be calling in later. But how are you, Munin?
Doing fine, Kay, and so happy to be on the blog with you on the radio. And this is an exciting time, but it's a frightening time in the country.
It is.
Those of us who are vigilant must remain so.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, you know, let me tell people a little bit about you. I know that you had run for office. Now, you're from Jersey, right?
Actually, I lived in Jersey for over 20 years. I was born in Staunton, Virginia. So,
In Hampton, Virginia?
Staunton.
Staunton.
Some say Staunton if they've been away too long.
In
the Shenandoah Valley.
I see. Okay. All right. Now, also, you are an attorney, and you
yes.
were elected to office in what part of Maryland, or was it Virginia? And you were given a hard time. I have to find out about that. What happened?
Well, all right. I ran for office for the first time in 2001 in Eastern Maryland, which is on the Eastern Shore in Talbot County. So it's rural America, basically.
I see.
An hour and a half from D.C., an hour and a half from Baltimore. And
you were in office for about 8 years, right?
I ran for a municipal council,
uh-huh.
and I won two terms. And, boy, they were really tired of me.
Yeah.
They meaning the political opponents. I ran as a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
I have been an independent, and when I was in Jersey, I have to say, once I was a Republican, when Kane was running for governor, you know, mm-hmm. I did support him. But I am about the issues, you know, not so much about the person. But I ran, and I was often the swing vote, which surprised quite a few people and troubled my opponents, because then they didn't know how to attack me. But I was very much involved in improving the quality of life for the citizens, and I'm really proud of that.
Okay, so you were elected to town council in Maryland, right?
Right.
Had they ever had a black person running before? An African-American woman.
Well, I'm the first African-American woman. They did have a male for one term, but I was the first African-American woman in the entire county, which is, a big feat in that part of the world. We have 37,000 people.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, I was the first African-American woman to stand for any public election.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I was pretty proud of that.
Yeah, that's something to be proud of. How could they? I mean, were they able to deal with you, or did they think you were strange, or what? And I heard
that's a funny question.
Now.
Well, Well, I have to give my New Jersey tutelage, Larry Stokes and some of the other Democrats, a lot of credit for teaching me in those early, very early years. I worked on many campaigns there, and they taught me how to count the votes. And so when I didn't lose that information, and it was an upset of an incumbent who had been an heir apparent, and then he thought that he would teach me how to negotiate the system. He thought I didn't know. Well, I didn't need to teach him that I did. But nevertheless, I won the first time against two opponents and the second time against two opponents. You know,
Well, you'd be glad to hear that Donald Payne Jr., of course, won in his first bid for his father's seat. And he won by a landslide. So that's
a landslide. Oh, really? Oh, I think that's fantastic. And please share with him if there's anything I can do to help him. I'm happy to do it. His dad was very, very supportive of the initiatives that I was involved in with Liberia.
Yes.
And also most recently assisting with the release of a detainee. From Africa, who was detained in Essex County facility.
Well, what happened? Tell us about that.
Say it again.
What happened? Tell us about that.
Well, with the Liberian Coalition, Congressman Payne at that time brought the Liberians in New Jersey into his office to talk about what support he could give. Doing all of that terrible destruction and mayhem, and as a result of that, there were funds that were released to the country, and there was other aid. And with respect to the young man who was detained, there were a coalition of many individuals from New York and New Jersey.
For want of another word, a detention center in New Jersey?
Yes,
in Elizabeth? Was that in Elizabeth?
Yes,
okay, I know that story. We did it on WLIB.
Oh, did you? Oh, okay. And so he was instrumental in at least pulling together a coalition of people to talk to his son, actually, Freeholder Payne, at that time, and I guess he and the Freeholders had some decision making relative to releasing the detainees and whether or not it was legitimate. And the point that I'm making is that Congressman Payne, most people know this, but I'm just happy to report it as well. Even living in Maryland, I was able to gain access to him and then get other people in to have conversation around important initiatives. And so he was always open. And his staff was wonderful.
So we will keep you up to date. I'm reading something else here. As I'm talking to you, yes, and Donald does have a record, and so does his son, and Donald Jr. is very much, strengthened by the vote that he got, and he will do an excellent job, and we are going to be following his career. The general election is in November, and so he has to go through that process because he is a Democratic designee.
Yes.
So we'll see what happens with that. But back to you, Mooney. Now, listen.
Let me just say one thing with respect to Donald Jr. I think it's imperative that the Democrats and other people of goodwill work with him. You know, it is our responsibility to support and encourage and educate and push and pull and allow the new energy to be expressed in this process. And I just hope that that's going to happen in Jersey, and some of us will come up and help him. I know that I will. I came to Jersey to help President Obama, and I will do that.
Before we do that, I have to ask you this. Now, you were admitted to practice before the United States Supreme Court. and
yes,
the third court of appeals. So very quickly, tell us, how does that happen? How do you practice before the United States Supreme Court? What does a lawyer have to do? Or do you have to have a certain case that you're presenting before the Supreme Court, or what? That's a heavy.
No, well, first of all, you simply, you have to have become a member of your own bar, and then you make application, and then your name is put into nomination. This is before the United States Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And we all go, and those of us who were permitted at that time, this was in 1980, I believe it was, can't remember. But in any event, then we stand before the Supreme Court and swear to uphold the Constitution and do all the things that we're supposed to do as attorneys. And the Third Circuit Court of Appeal is an application. I was an attorney in good standing. Mm-hmm. And that's, it's not really a lot of magic, to be honest about it. But you do have to apply and you do have to be assessed.
Let me get into women's rights here. Now, why should women be very involved in this campaign? And I'm talking about the campaign for the second term of President Obama.
Women and everybody else who want to see justice and who want to see one of the most brilliant, not just a brilliant scholar, but he is a very humane person, in my opinion. And he's already shown that he is for women's rights and equal rights with the Lilly Ledbetter Act. I mean, I don't have to go down the plethora of things that he's done, but President Obama is real clear about supporting all human beings in this country and abroad, frankly, who have a desire to have a the quality of life that we all dream about. And he has been a staunch advocate for women's rights, whether it's the right to choose and well, fair pay, equal pay for equal work. I just think that we would be remiss if we even contemplated Romney, who really doesn't have a sense of what's fair and just. I think he's truly out of touch with reality on so many levels, and I don't just say that in a casual way, but he has no performance to point to. Relative to women's rights
or a commonality with various other groups of people.
That's exactly right.
And, we want to talk about women's health issues. And then also, Eric Holder, the Attorney General, what is happening there? I mean, They are attacking the president on anything and everything because of one reason, and that is because he is a black president. Period.
Oh, that's all.
Over now. That's exactly.
Well, you've said it in a nutshell. Well, I think it's a terrible disgrace. But what this oversight committee is attempting to do. But I think it would be even worse if the bar associations, and particularly the African American bar associations across the country, stand up with Eric Holder in a very obvious way, whether it's sending letters of support or helping him to articulate his position, through amica briefs or statements. I think that this Congress is just so transparent in its desire to
they're blatant with their racism.
But the thing is, they also want to stop Eric Holder from pursuing his case against Florida.
Yeah.
And any other states that are trying to suppress the votes.
Yeah, voter.
And so if they get him out of the mix, then. Someone else who would fill that chair would be a little reluctant, perhaps, to pursue the course that he is. But fortunately, I think I'm right on this because I need to research it. The executive a privilege that the president asserted will at least keep Holder from being prosecuted.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay.
Even that's what I was trying to research quickly after the announcement of the vote 23-17.
Yeah.
You know, during this oversight committee, and I think that's what I understood. But I want to be sure of that. I didn't do the thorough research that I would normally do. But so that's why the president, and I'm so glad that he did. And I think that we as citizens need to inundate our representatives with our concern about it, and to stop this if it's at all possible. You know, we don't have the votes in the in the House, and so it's going to be pretty difficult. And this is why people should come out to vote. If they had voted in 2010, we would not have a House full of Republicans who care nothing about the general citizenship. They care only about blocking this president. That's their mission. They've stated it from the beginning. But we need to have our voices heard. See, the problem that I'm having is that the president seems like the Lone Ranger out there.
Yeah.
The Democrats in office are not speaking up as loudly as they should. There's nobody. And I have to give those on MSNBC, Al Sharpton and Rachel Maddow and Ed Schultz and O'Donnell, I have to give them a lot of credit, for sticking with the truth. See,
and
it's not about just sticking with the
truth. That's true. However, we have to end this because we have our other caller coming on who was going to be coming on before you. But listen, I want you back on, okay?
Okay.
But what I want to say to women is the women have got to step up.
Yes.
Now you're a woman and you're involved with the Women for Obama.
Yes, so, Black Women for Obama and Sure Enough Obama and Women for Obama, and yes, I am.
Sure. Okay, and then we want to make sure that we get to talk to other people in New Jersey and elsewhere.
Please make sure you mention the church, the fact that the faith-based community needs to consider whether or not they want 4 years of Romney, or they'd rather deal with a president who will at least be fair to all folks. It's very important.
Before you go, I want to say to Brianna Scott in Bermuda, we had started a little late and we were having difficulties, if she's still listening in. And we would like her to call back. She has to call into the show so we could get our report. This is the first time we're having our correspondent from Bermuda to tell us all about you. And you'd be very interested in this, Mooney, about the events going on in Carnival and going on throughout the Caribbean.
Yes, fantastic.
All the good things going on. She was selected to play on the volleyball team, the National Junior Volleyball team. So we want to hear all about that with sports and everything throughout the Caribbean. So this is Caribbean or Caribbean. I forget which way to say it, but I think both ways.
Either way.
Either way. And so we wanted to hear that report. So if she's listening in, we would wish that she would call in once again because we still have some time. If not, then we will get to her next week. But one thing I want you to touch on now, the importance of women being involved in getting out in numbers because of the fact of the health issues and other things that apply to women that the Republicans are so obviously against, mainly our health, mainly abortion rights, mainly so many different things.
Well, the health care issue has been, is critical. And if I'm just praying that the Supreme Court doesn't strike down the entire legislation. However, if they decide to do so, it just simply means that Obama in the next term will have to bring it back before what I hope will be a largely Democrat committee, Congress rather. But the Health Care Act is so critical, and so many young people now have been able to extend their care through their parents' insurance, to age 26. So all of this information is available, and people know it. It's the responsibility of getting out and voting for this man who has proven himself to be stellar. I mean, to me, Kay, if President Obama can still be as articulate as he is, if he can still advance legislation with all of these attacks that he's had to suffer, he's the most brilliant one on the planet. Okay, he's really stepped up. Now, he's not a perfect person, you know, by any stretch of the imagination, and I think if we have issues that we want to address to the president, we should do as other groups have done, and that is to make our way to see him, you know, ask for an audience with him. Just like the immigration legislation, everyone thinks that it just happened overnight and it was a political ploy, but it wasn't. Congressman Gutierrez of Illinois was so poignant, and he said, "We quietly went to the president over and over again to ask him to understand what it is we wanted, and now we see the fruits of our labor." So when African Americans are feeling, you know, that the president is not doing as much for us as he should, then we need to go to him and say and lay out a plan of things that we would like to see him address in this next term, as opposed to joining the band of naysayers. It's just very destructive.
I hope people aren't dumb enough to fall for that, to be a naysayer, because of the fact that this is a Republican kind of tactic. They are vicious, more vicious than I have ever seen in the Republican Party.
Oh, yeah.
And they're playing dirty pool. Okay,
yeah.
And everybody should realize that, and there's only one reason for it, and that's because of the fact that they have real racism in their heart. Because you would not see this if say he turned white tomorrow, okay? There would be a big, "Oh, he's okay, he's wonderful," you know, so forth and so on. Republicans are still going to be vicious, but the viciousness would be cut down by a whole lot. So they're going to have to get ready for it, because the country is moving toward black and brown, like it or not. And so we want people who are qualified. It just so happens that President Barack Obama is totally and completely qualified, so stop whining about it. That's just, and what we have to do with our community is make sure that we get out that vote. And, you know, we have to tell, as you were talking about, the faith-based community. They have to be aware of the fact that you have to find out exactly what the new rules for voting is in your state. Find out what the procedure is and start working on that right now. Do not wait until the last minute, or you will lose the first very Democratic president that we have ever had.
Oh, absolutely. You know, but do I have time to say one thing I wanted to share with you that I named while I was in office in Eastern Maryland? I named 7 streets after African-American women, and I think that's the only place in the country where there are 7 streets.
Wow.
Named Harriet Tubman, Phyllis Wheatley, Mary McLeod Bethune, and then there was Bessie Coleman and Leontine Price. And Kelly Gibson. Kelly Gibson was a young
Just
sister.
Just in case you forget your history.
Well, listen, I did it. I'm proud of it, and I want to keep it going. Those folks had a hit.
That's wonderful. Maybe you're going to name a street after the First Lady Michelle Obama.
Oh, next time.
You know, I'm telling you, listen, we women, listen, let's face it, Moonin, men owe us for womb and board. They also own us rent. They also own us for, let me see, going through the gate.
Yes.
Okay. They owe us our very lives, but mainly they owe us for womb and board and landing fee. Okay?
I love that.
All right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So without us, they would not exist. Okay? And this is not to take anything away from men. You know, I love men. And my guy is right now, I hope, listening, although he may be ill. But the point is, we are in charge. Now, we women can get together. I don't care what color you are. You can be blue or green or polka dot. I couldn't care less. We have issues. We have rights. And this Republican Party is trying to take away those rights. Anytime anyone wants to tell you what to do with your body, now you know they're crazy.
Oh my! This man in Virginia, the governor of Virginia was. Oh, I was born in that state, and I tell you, it's getting worse and worse.
What's his name?
What'd you say?
What's his name?
And it just went out of my mind.
Maybe that's a good thing.
Oh, my gosh.
It's really dangerous. I'm even thinking still of the Trayvon Martin case. You know, with this, stand your ground, you hold the gun, you know, with Zimmerman and his wife. What is going on? What are they, crazy? And then they say no one's
happening everywhere.
Yeah. And the stop and frisk thing, you know, in New York.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people say don't talk about race. Listen, we will talk about race as long as it exists, so people better get ready for it.
Exactly. Well,
and we women will be the leaders.
Well, I hope. I tell you what, it's time for us to get out and have our voices heard. Though we are a little too quiet for me. We've got to be the voice. The president can't argue for everything, and he can't be his own champion. And we have to support the First Lady. She is very powerful and very, very bright. And
we have about 2 minutes left. Would you believe? We're going to listen. Mooneen Jackson Amos. Is that the way you say your last name?
Amos
is going to be back in a couple of weeks. I promise you that. And there's so much more to talk to you about. All the stuff that you're doing with African-American history, all the stuff you're doing with, you know, letting people know about African-American women who made a difference.
Yes.
And you are the person to deal with, what is it, the Frederick Douglass,
I must tell you about that the next time.
Listen, there's a whole lot. We're going to start from the very top. But I have to say this to Brianna Scott in Bermuda. We will get to you next week. That's a promise. And we did have some technical difficulties when we first started today on the air, so which is really very unusual. But thanks for everybody in the control room for straightening out things. This is the internet. This is radio. This is television. This is the way it happens. This is the way we roll. But we pick right up and we continue on. We will be having that report from the Caribbean. Thank you very much, Mooneen, and we'll talk again soon.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye now.
Welcome. Bye bye. And we will be talking to Mooneen Jackson Amos and another time because of the fact that she has a lot to say and she has done a lot. And she is an attorney, a trial attorney, and she's from New Jersey. And so we have a lot to hear. Anyway, we're going to be hearing from Brianna Scott, our new correspondent, dealing with, you know, Caribbean affairs, Caribbean issues, Caribbean sports, the different festivals going on, the Caribbean festivals and music. And so we are ending now the Kay and Gus show, and we will be back next Wednesday, and we are going to be having a lot more to say about a lot more things. So join us there. I'm Kay Thompson.